You've done the work. You've read the books, faced your shadow, stripped away the masks. You thought becoming authentic would set you free. You thought people would finally see you, respect you, love the real you. But something else happened instead. The room changes when you walk in now. Conversations shift. Smiles become tighter. Eyes dart away. You feel it. That invisible wall that wasn't there before. That subtle rejection that no one will name. You tell yourself you're imagining it. You must be. After all, you're finally being real. Isn't that what everyone says they want? Authenticity? Truth? Genuine connection? But here's what no one warned you about. When you stop performing, you force everyone else to see their own performance. When you remove your mask, you become a mirror. And most people hate what they see. They don't hate you. They hate what you reflect. You used to be safe, predictable. You played your role perfectly. The friend who never rocked the boat, the colleague who smiled through the bullshit, the family member who kept the peace. You were a supporting actor in everyone else's story, never threatening their narrative with inconvenient truths. But now? Now you're awake. Now you speak when others would stay silent. Now you say no when you mean no. Now you admit to feelings others pretend don't exist. And with every authentic word, you're dismantling the careful architecture of pretense that holds their world together. They feel it viscerally. Your presence has weight now. Your words land differently. Your silence speaks volumes. You've become unpredictable, uncontrollable, unmanageable. You've become real. And reality is the one thing most people spend their entire lives avoiding. So they avoid you instead. They'll never say it directly. They'll smile, make plans they don't intend to keep, slowly fade from your life while insisting nothing has changed. But you know better. You can feel the shift, the cooling, the careful distance they now maintain. This is the price of waking up in a world that's still asleep. This is what happens when you stop being who others need you to be and start being who you are. The question is, are you prepared for what comes next? Because it gets worse before it gets better. And understanding why might be the only thing that keeps you from putting the mask back on. Picture this. You're at dinner with friends. The conversation flows in its usual patterns. Complaints disguised as humor, gossip wrapped in concern, dreams diluted into, someday, fantasies. But you've changed. You don't laugh at the jokes that aren't funny anymore. You don't nod along to the gossip. When someone asks how you are, you tell them, actually tell them, not the rehearsed fine, but the truth. The table goes quiet, not because what you said was inappropriate, but because you just broke the unspoken agreement. The one that says we all pretend together. We all perform together. We all stay safely on the surface together. Your authenticity didn't insult them. It exposed them. Carl Jung understood this. He said, "Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves." But most people don't want that understanding. They want comfort. They want the familiar dance of mutual deception. When you stop dancing, you become dangerous, not because you're trying to hurt anyone, but because your very existence asks a question they don't want to answer. Why are you still pretending? Think about a room full of people wearing masks. Everyone knows they're wearing masks. Everyone agrees to pretend the masks our faces. It's comfortable, safe, predictable. Then you walk in with your actual face showing. Suddenly, everyone becomes acutely aware of the weight of their own masks, the itching, the suffocation, the lie they're living. And they have two choices: take their masks off too, or make you the problem. Guess which one's easier? They'll start with subtle dismissals. You're being too serious. Can't you just have fun anymore? Why do you have to make everything so deep? These aren't observations. They're defense mechanisms. Attempts to shame you back into superficiality. When that doesn't work, they'll escalate. They'll mock your growth, roll their eyes at your insights, make jokes about your journey or your phase. They'll try to recruit others, creating a consensus that you're the one who's lost, not found. But watch their eyes when they do it. Behind the mockery is something else: fear, envy, a flicker of recognition that you found something they're still searching for. See, everyone knows on some level that they're performing. Everyone feels the exhaustion of maintaining their facade. Everyone has moments at 3 a.m. when the mask slips and they glimpse their real face in the darkness. But most people have built their entire lives on the performance. Their relationships depend on it. Their identity is woven through it. Their sense of safety requires it. You're not just showing them another way to be. You're showing them that everything they've built might be built on sand. Is it any wonder they react like you're a threat? Because to them, you are. Your authenticity is a walking advertisement for a life they're too terrified to live. Your freedom highlights their imprisonment. Your truth illuminates their lies. And rather than face the pain of their own awakening, they'll try to convince you and themselves that you're the one who's lost. Here's where it gets really twisted. They can't attack you for being authentic. That would require admitting they're not. So instead, they attack you for what your authenticity represents in their mind. You've changed. Translation: you're not playing the game anymore. You think you're better than everyone? Translation: your growth highlights my stagnation. You're so intense lately. Translation: your depth reveals my shallowness. You take everything so seriously. Translation: your reality threatens my denial. You used to be more fun. Translation: you used to help me avoid myself. This is projection in its purest form. They're not seeing you anymore. They're seeing everything they've rejected in themselves, everything they're too afraid to face, everything they've buried under years of social conditioning. You've become a walking reminder of their own abandoned authenticity. And here's the brutal part. The more authentic you become, the more distorted the projection gets. Because the greater the gap between who you are and who they're pretending to be, the more threatened they feel. It's like being a sober person at a party full of drunks. Your very presence makes them uncomfortably aware of their intoxication. Your clarity becomes an accusation. Your peace becomes a judgment. Your truth becomes an attack. But you're not doing anything to them. You're simply being. And that's what they can't forgive. Watch how they'll create stories about you. You're going through something. You're lost. You're trying to find yourself. Anything to avoid acknowledging that maybe you've already found yourself, and they're the ones who are lost. They'll diagnose you with problems you don't have, accuse you of feelings you're not feeling, assign you motivations that exist only in their imagination. You're just angry at the world. No, you just stopped pretending the world is fine. You're pushing everyone away. No, you just stopped pulling everyone close at your own expense. You're being selfish. No, you just stopped setting yourself on fire to keep others warm. Every accusation is a confession. Every criticism is a mirror. Every attack is an admission of their own pain. Because here's what's really happening. Your authenticity is triggering their shadow. All the parts of themselves they've disowned, rejected, buried, you're bringing them to the surface just by existing. The confident way you now move through the world reminds them of the confidence they surrendered. The boundaries you now maintain remind them of all the times they betrayed themselves. The truth you now speak reminds them of all the lies they still tell. You're not trying to trigger anyone. You're not walking around psychoanalyzing people or pointing out their masks. You're just living. But when you live authentically in a world of performers, your very existence becomes a confrontation. And rather than thank you for the wake-up call, they'll crucify you for disturbing their sleep. This is the projection game. And once you understand it, you'll never take their reactions personally again. Because it was never about you. It was always about what you represent. The possibility they're too afraid to embrace. Let me tell you what's actually happening beneath the surface. When someone encounters authentic presence, real, unfiltered, unperfumed truth, their psyche goes into threat mode, not physical threat, existential threat, because authenticity is contagious. When you're around someone who's genuinely themselves, your own false self starts to crack. Your carefully constructed persona begins to feel like a straitjacket. The gap between who you are and who you pretend to be becomes painfully obvious. For most people, this creates unbearable anxiety. So their unconscious does what it always does with unbearable truths. It shoots the messenger. They'll find reasons to dismiss you. You're going through a phase. You're trying too hard. You've been brainwashed by self-help. You've lost touch with reality. Anything to avoid the real issue. You're showing them what they could be if they had the courage. Watch how they minimize your growth, how they try to pull you back into old patterns, how they remind you of who you used to be, as if that performance was more real than your current truth. Remember when you used to? You never used to be like this. I miss the old you. What they're really saying is, I miss when you helped me maintain my illusions. I miss when your mask validated my mask. I miss when we were both safely unconscious together. They're not trying to help you. They're trying to help themselves. Because if they can get you to put your mask back on, they can keep wearing theirs. This isn't conscious manipulation. It's unconscious desperation. The desperation of someone who built their entire life on a foundation of pretense, watching someone else walk on solid ground. They need you to be fake, because your reality threatens their entire world. But here's what's even more fascinating. Often, the people who react most strongly are the ones closest to their own awakening, the ones whose masks are already cracking, the ones who've been feeling the call to authenticity, but have been too afraid to answer it. Your presence accelerates their internal conflict. Part of them wants to join you. Part of them wants to destroy you. Part of them recognizes truth. Part of them fears it more than death. So they lash out. Not because they hate you, but because you're forcing a choice they're not ready to make. Stay asleep or wake up. And waking up means admitting they've been asleep. It means acknowledging years, sometimes decades, of living as someone they're not, It means facing the grief of unlived life, unexpressed truth, unrealized potential. Who wants to face that? Who wants to admit they've been sleepwalking through their own existence? Much easier to make you the problem. Much easier to pathologize your awakening than to begin their own. So they'll create elaborate justifications for why your authenticity is actually dysfunction. They'll gather allies who share their resistance. They'll build a case against your truth that sounds reasonable to anyone who's also avoiding their own. And for a moment, you might even believe them. Because when everyone around you is saying you're wrong, it's hard to trust your own experience. When the entire world is wearing masks, the naked face looks like madness. But remember this, the truth doesn't need a consensus. Reality doesn't require a vote. Your authenticity isn't subject to their approval. Their reaction is just fear dressed up as concern. Their resistance is just pain disguised as judgment. And their desperate attempts to pull you back into unconsciousness? That's just proof that your light is working. And now we arrive at the part no one talks about. The price you pay for waking up. You'll lose people. Not because you pushed them away, but because proximity to truth requires a tolerance most people haven't developed. It's like trying to stare at the sun. They'll look away, and eventually, they'll stay away. Your conversations will change. Small talk becomes impossible when you've touched depth. Surface relationships feel like starvation when you've tasted real connection. You can't go back to discussing the weather when you've discussed the soul. You'll find yourself alone more often. Not because you're antisocial, but because you can no longer socialize with masks. You'd rather have solitude than false company. You'd rather have silence than scripted conversation. This is the valley of authenticity, the place where the old connections have died, but the new ones haven't been born yet. Where you're too real for your old world, but haven't found your new tribe. And in this valley, you'll face the greatest temptation of all, to put the mask back on, to go back to sleep, to trade your hard-won truth for the comfort of belonging. Because humans are social creatures. We're wired for connection. And the pain of isolation can make even the most committed person question their path. Maybe I was better off before. Maybe ignorance really is bliss. Maybe I should just pretend. Maybe they're right about me. But you can't. Not really. Because once you've seen the strings, you can't believe in the puppet show. Once you've tasted reality, everything else tastes like cardboard. You're ruined for superficiality. And that's both your curse and your liberation. The loneliness isn't just social, it's existential. You're living between worlds now, too awake for the sleeping world, but still learning how to navigate wakefulness, too real for pretense, but still discovering what reality means. Some days, the isolation will feel unbearable. You'll scroll through your phone, seeing all the connections you used to have. All the gatherings you're no longer invited to, all the relationships that have quietly dissolved. You'll wonder if it was worth it, if truth is worth this price, if authenticity is worth this alienation. And in those moments, you'll be tempted to perform again, just a little, just enough to fit in, just enough to feel less alone. But then you'll remember what performance cost you. The anxiety, the exhaustion, the slow death of living as someone you're not, the suffocation of swallowing your truth day after day after day. and you'll realize that this loneliness, brutal as it is still better than the loneliness of being surrounded by people who don't see you. This isolation is still better than the isolation of living behind a mask. Because at least now, when you're alone, you're with yourself. The real you. The one you abandoned for so long in pursuit of acceptance. And that self? That's the only companion you truly need. The only one who will be with you from first breath to last. The only one whose approval actually matters. The Valley of Authenticity is where you learn this, where you discover that being alone with truth is better than being together in lies, where you realize that one real connection, even if it's just with yourself, is worth more than 1,000 false ones. This is the trial by fire, the test of your commitment to truth. And if you can survive it, if you can resist the siren song of false belonging, something beautiful awaits on the other side. But let's go deeper. Let's talk about what they don't tell you in the self-help books. Authenticity has a shadow side. Sometimes what we call being real is just another mask, the mask of the truth teller, the awakened one, the person who's done the work. We can become addicted to our own authenticity, wielding it like a weapon, using our truth to cut others down. I'm just being honest becomes an excuse for cruelty. I don't do fake becomes a justification for judgment. I speak my truth becomes a way to avoid hearing others. I've done my shadow work becomes a badge of superiority. This is spiritual ego dressed up as authenticity, and it's just as much a performance as the masks you rejected. True authenticity includes the humility to know you're still becoming. It includes the compassion to understand why others still wear masks. It includes the wisdom to know when your truth serves and when it merely satisfies your need to be seen as authentic. Because here's the paradox. The moment you're proud of being real, you've stopped being real. The moment you use your authenticity as a way to feel superior, you've created a new mask. The mask of the authentic person. And this mask is even more dangerous because it's harder to see. It's reinforced by every spiritual book you read, every therapy session you attend, every moment of insight you have. You become the star of your own enlightenment story, performing awakeness for an audience of other seekers. The people who reject you? Part of them might be sensing this. They might be picking up on the subtle performance within your non-performance, the ego hidden in your egolessness, the mask of having no mask. This is why the path of authenticity is so treacherous, because every step forward creates a new shadow. Every truth revealed creates a new place to hide. Every mask removed reveals another layer beneath. Real authenticity includes admitting this. It includes acknowledging that you're not done, that you're not fully awake, that you're still performing in ways you haven't recognized yet. It means catching yourself when you're using truth as a weapon, when you're wielding authenticity as armor, when you're hiding behind realness instead of living it. Ask yourself, am I being real or am I performing realness? Am I speaking truth or am I trying to hurt? Am I authentic or am I attached to being seen as authentic? Am I awake or am I dreaming I'm awake? The shadow of authenticity also includes the parts of yourself you rejected when you rejected falseness. Maybe you threw out healthy social lubrication along with fake niceness. Maybe you confused necessary diplomacy with dishonesty. Maybe you abandoned kindness in your pursuit of truth. Because truth without love is just brutality. Authenticity without compassion is just narcissism. Realness without wisdom is just another form of unconsciousness. The people who can't stand your authenticity, maybe they're not all asleep. Maybe some of them are sensing the shadow in your light. Maybe they're reacting not to your truth, but to the subtle violence in how you wield it. This doesn't invalidate your journey. It deepens it. Because true authenticity includes the humility to see where you're still performing, still projecting, still using truth as a defense against vulnerability. The highest authenticity isn't declaring yourself real. It's admitting you're still becoming real. It's acknowledging that awakening is a process, not an achievement. It's recognizing that everyone, including you, is still finding their way. So what do you do with all this? How do you navigate a world that punishes truth while claiming to value it? First, understand that their rejection is information. It's showing you who's ready for reality and who's not. It's sorting your relationships into those that can grow with you and those that depended on your stagnation. This isn't about being better than anyone. It's about recognizing resonance. Some people are ready for depth. Others are still learning to swim. Neither is wrong. But trying to have a deep sea conversation with someone who's afraid of water serves no one. Second, recognize that their hatred isn't really hatred. It's fear. Fear of their own authenticity. Fear of what they've buried. Fear of who they might be if they stopped pretending. When you understand this, compassion becomes possible. Not the condescending compassion of the spiritually superior, but the genuine compassion of someone who remembers their own fear, their own resistance, their own desperate clinging to comfortable lies. Remember when you first started waking up? Remember the terror, the grief, the overwhelming desire to go back to sleep? They're in that place now, and your presence is triggering what they're not ready to face. Third, use their projection as a mirror for your own shadow work. What triggers them about your authenticity? Where might you be unconsciously performing your truth rather than simply living it? Where might your realness be compensating for something still unhealed? Their rejection can become your teacher if you're humble enough to learn from it. Because sometimes their criticisms contain kernels of truth. Not about your authenticity being wrong, but about how you're expressing it. Maybe you are being self-righteous. Maybe you are using truth as a shield. Maybe you are performing awakeness. Fourth, find your people. They exist. The ones who light up when you speak your truth. The ones who meet your depth with their own. The ones who celebrate your unmasking, because it gives them permission to unmask too. These connections will be fewer, but infinitely richer. Quality over quantity. Depth over breadth. Truth over comfort. You'll recognize them immediately. Conversation flows without effort. Silence feels full, not empty. You can be yourself without explanation or apology. They see you, really see you, and don't look away. But here's the key. Don't desperately seek these people. Don't perform authenticity trying to attract them. Don't create a new mask of seeking authentic connection. Instead, focus on being real. Focus on living your truth. Focus on becoming who you are. The right people will find you. They always do. Because authenticity recognizes authenticity across any distance. Fifth, practice unconditional self-acceptance. The world's rejection only hurts to the degree that you're rejecting yourself. Their judgment only lands where you're judging yourself. Their criticism only stings where you're criticizing yourself. The more you accept all parts of yourself, including the parts that are still performing, still seeking approval, still afraid, the less you'll need others' acceptance. This doesn't mean becoming hard or indifferent. It means becoming whole. It means loving yourself enough that others' love becomes a bonus, not a necessity. Finally, trust the process. Trust that every rejection is redirection. Trust that every lost connection makes space for a true one. Trust that the universe is conspiring to connect you with your real tribe. But first, it has to clear out everyone who is attracted to your mask. The alchemy of rejection transforms poison into medicine. It transforms others' fear into your freedom. It transforms their projection into your power. But only if you let it. Only if you stop trying to convince anyone of your worth. Only if you stop explaining yourself to people committed to misunderstanding you. And here's the final truth. The one that changes everything. The more genuinely you accept their rejection, the less they'll need to reject you. Because rejection only sticks to the parts of you that are still seeking approval. When you truly, deeply accept that not everyone will like the real you, when you're genuinely okay with that, you stop broadcasting the subtle need that triggers their resistance. It's like learning to walk through a world of mirrors without constantly checking your reflection. When you stop needing them to validate your authenticity, they stop needing to invalidate it. Some will still leave. Let them. Your truth was never meant for everyone, but others, the ones who are ready, will be drawn to your freedom like moths to a flame. Not because you're trying to attract them, but because authenticity is the rarest currency in a world of performers. And those who stay, those who can stand in the fire of your truth without burning, those are your people, your tribe, your real connections. They won't be many, but they'll be everything. Here's what nobody tells you about being hated for your authenticity. It's a sign you're doing something right. In a world built on pretense, truth is heresy. In a culture of masks, the naked face is obscene. In a society of sleepwalkers, the awakened are disturbing. Your authenticity threatens an entire system built on mutual deception. Of course, it's met with resistance. Of course, it triggers projection. Of course, it invites rejection. But that rejection is just the dying gasp of a world that's ending. The world where everyone pretends and no one is real. Your truth is helping birth a new world. One where people can finally breathe, finally be seen, finally live as themselves. So let them hate you. Let them project. Let them reject. Let them misunderstand. Because their reaction to your truth was never about you. It was always about them. And your job isn't to make them comfortable with your authenticity. Your job is to be so rooted in your truth that their discomfort becomes their opportunity to either wake up or walk away. Both serve the highest good. Because in the end, being hated for who you are is infinitely better than being loved for who you're not. And once you understand that, truly understand it, you're free. Not free from rejection, but free from the fear of it. And that's when your real life begins. The one where you're not performing for anyone, not even yourself. The one where you simply are. And that's enough. That's everything.